Good afternoon, everybody. Lovely to see you as we're looking again into this subject of faith, which is an exciting subject. And we took for our scripture Hebrews, didn't we? Faith is a substance, Hebrews 11. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we said that that's the only definition of faith in the Bible, but there's so many examples that we go by that also form the definition for us. And we saw that faith is really, when we're talking about faith, it's believing God's word. When we talk, it's not believing in the existence of God, although that does take faith to believe, but it's actually faith is about, do you believe what God has said? And when God created Adam and Eve, and they woke up, when they were made, they woke up to everything ready for them. They just woke up to total satisfaction, total fulfillment, everything. And God said, all that you see is yours, but just don't eat, take the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. Everything else is yours. So God had actually completed their creation. They were last to be made. So they were made, you and I have been made, to fit this wonderful creation that God has made. So they, and we're going to be talking about that a bit later on tonight, they fitted their environment. They were the last. They were created to be able to appreciate and take from their environment. Now, of course, sin came in because they didn't believe. That is the main sin. They stopped believing God's word. So for the last 6,000 years, God has been trying to get the human race again to believe his word. Now, the Bible says if anybody's in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So God is now making a new creation. And in fact, it's Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. It done it. The work of the new creation is also completed. Everything that we need, God's done. All we have to do is believe for it. Well, that's taking some sinking in, isn't it? See, one of the problems we've got is we want to work. The problem we have is we think we have to work for salvation. And Adam and Eve woke up not working, they woke up enjoying. The garden, they were to tend the garden, but not work in the garden. They only worked in the garden after sin came in. Prior to that, they tended the garden. They didn't have to do any work. Hallelujah. We don't have to do any work, but just accept what God has done, his wonderful, marvelous new creation, the provisions he has made. Now, so many Christians can't grasp this because we still feel we've got to work for our salvation. So that's what all the religions of the world work for their salvation. If you're Buddhist, or if you're Hindu, or if you're Muslim, you're working. And if you're a religious Christian, if you're a Catholic, you're working for your salvation. You're actually working for it. But Jesus came to do all the work for us, and all that we have to do is believe what God has done. And if you read Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 3, read that through, chapter 4, read them in your leisure time, you'll see there God's got the creation for us. There remains then a Sabbath rest. Do you know what the Sabbath rest was when God first made the Sabbath? It wasn't one day. The Sabbath was when he finished the 6 days of creation and he rested from all the work that he had done, and Adam and Eve woke up to a Sabbath that would have lasted for eternity. Come on. It would have lasted. Now, I believe that now we have a new Sabbath, the work of Christ. We rest in the finished work of Christ, which makes me, I'm a seventh day or a Sabbath observant person, but not a Saturday one, not a Sunday one, not a Monday one or a Tuesday one. I actually live and you live in a Sabbath all the time because we are resting in what God has done. Amen. So this, you know, even the Seventh-day Adventists, I had a good friend who left and went to become a, just couldn't grasp what I was trying to say. You know, the seventh day, was a symbol of the resting in God. And he's done it all now. That's when Jesus said, it is finished. You've got nothing else to do but believe. And that is the onus for believing is on us. So actually Christianity, if you really could get to grips with it, is very easy. Just believe what God has done. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? You'll be saved. Come on. Come on. That's why faith is important. Faith leads us to believe the Word. That's why we need to read the Word, study the Word, know the Word, so we believe the Word. If you don't know the Word, you can't believe it. That's why it is so important. I'm glad you're here tonight having this Bible study. I'm glad that you desire to learn from God's Word, because the more you know, the more you can believe. Amen? So to me, that is wonderful. We have been brought into something already worked out for us. Do you know all we have to do? Is go and access the grace of God. The scripture says, grow in grace. Peter said it. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, grow in grace. You cannot grow in grace unless you grow in faith. Because faith accesses grace. Tells us that very clearly in Romans chapter 5. We stand and access God's grace by faith. It starts with our salvation. It doesn't finish there. It goes on and on and on. If I'm to grow in grace, it means I'm growing in faith. Because grace is not a work that I do. It's a work that's already been done. But I've got to receive that grace, whether it be healing, whatever it may be. And there's so many things. God wants to bless us, to prosper us, to heal us, fill us with His Spirit, use the gifts flowing through us. So much He has done for us on this walk of faith that we're in to the finished creation. Now, we're not quite finished yet. You know that, don't you? You've only got to look in the mirror, you could see that. You're not finished with. Far from it. But your spirit has been resurrected. You have, through the blood of Jesus, a perfect spirit. Come on, you have. The work's done. When God looks at you, He looks at you through rose-colored glasses. He sees you through the blood of Jesus. And He sees a perfect person. Hallelujah. But when we look in the mirror, we don't see that. Because He hasn't dealt with the body yet. You heard me say that when we talked about the book of Revelation. The body's not yet been dealt with. But one day it will be. When Jesus returns, the new body is there. How wonderful is that? And do you know what's wonderful about the new body? You won't have to do anything for it or to it. It's God. Come on, you'll never need makeup again. You're not. You'll never. There are no Panadols in heaven. They're not. There are not. There's no doctors in heaven. There's not. Because they will not be needed, because we are a new creation, body, soul, and spirit. That's something wonderful that's going to happen. And I'm so glad. I'm preaching this morning on Jesus when He says, let's go over to the other side. And that storm came. And I was saying, you know, that's a wonderful symbolic thing. He said, let's go over to the other side. And I said to the folks, we're going over. We're not staying here. This isn't your home. And your destiny isn't the grave. Come on. You're going home to be with. We're going over to the other side. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm on that journey with Jesus to the other side. And when I get there, I won't look a bit like this. I'm telling you, I won't have these clothes. I won't have these wrinkles. I won't have my gammy legs and gammy arms and gammy whatever it may be. None of that. Once we get there, we're going to just walk in there absolutely perfect. Isn't that wonderful? So let's start believing now. In God's grace. Grow in grace. That's more than just saying, I'm getting saved. It means you get saved and you grow in grace. You start walking closer to Him. You start enjoying life more. You start believing that you've got joy. You start believing you've got peace. You start believing it. I've got the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. I've got the peace of God. You start believing it. Glory to God. I believe that faith is to the Spirit what the senses are to the body. I believe that faith is to the Spirit what the senses are to the body. Now, there are five senses. You know what they are. It is touch, taste, smell, hear, and see. Touch, taste, smell, hear, and see. They are the five senses. You've all got them. Or we may not have them all, but you've got at least one. Because if you haven't, you're dead. Isn't that true? What do your senses do? Your senses put you into absolute communication with the environment that God has made. Without those, you cannot communicate to one another or to the environment. Think of it. You understand the environment by your senses. You see it. You can smell it. You taste it. You touch it. Our body only knows life through the senses. Now let that sink in a little bit, because some of you look at me and just think, what are you talking about? You only know this, you could only appreciate the life that God has made, this wonderful planet, and all that He has made, the physical life, you could only appreciate it through the senses. Now, those five senses do not help you to appreciate the invisible world. They only help you to appreciate the physical world. You can't appreciate angels, angelic beings, through any of your five senses. You don't appreciate them, but they are there. I mean, while I'm talking to you right now, I have no doubt in my mind that there are angels in this room. And I'm not talking about Pastor David. I'm telling you, I really believe that there are angels here. I honestly do. Now, we can't see them. We can't hear them. We can't touch them. But they're here. But the senses that we have help us to appreciate what is around us. Everything that is around us. But there's a spirit realm. And God is a spirit. And I want to appreciate God. And He's done something wonderful. He's laid upon me this wonderful, marvelous, I don't know what to call it, ingredient of faith. I don't know what to call it, but I've got faith. And that faith, of course, I can use it however I want. I can use it detrimentally, against me, against God if I want to. But I can use it for God, for myself. But I believe that faith is to my spirit what the senses are to my body. See, not only am I a physical body that is in touch with the natural world, God has given me a spirit. And He's given me a soul. He breathed upon us and man became a living soul. He breathed His spirit within us. Now, by faith, I can see God. I can hear God. I can smell God. I can touch God. By faith, now you're looking at me very strangely again right now, but it's true. There are scriptures that show us very clearly that by faith we can do these things. Because of time, we won't turn to them, but I'll tell you where they are and then you can perhaps jot them down. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is... Well, is that talking about eating with your mouth like you do a chop or a piece of meat? Or no. Here's something incredible. By faith, we can taste that God is good. Amen. Not by the physical, but by faith, we can taste it. I think that's a wonderful scripture. Are you tasting and seeing that God is good? Are you tasting it? Can you Isaac, some people have real doubts about God. But are you saying, no doubts. I'm tasting him. He's good. You've tasted him because you've looked in the Word. And the only reason you know what you know about God is from the Bible. That's why, by the way, why praising God is so important. Because every time you praise God, you're quoting Scripture. People don't realize that. But when you're praising God, you know, when you say, oh, praise the Lord, God, you're a good God. Well, how do you know he's a good God? Because the Bible says God is good and what he does is good. So you've just believed it and you've taken it up and you've confessed it. You're tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Every time you praise God, you're praising him through the Word. That's why I believe as Christians, I said this to you before, we need to have a great vocabulary of praise. You know, the vocabulary of praise that most people use is praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, and glory, and Jesus. And that's about it. And I did this once. I went to a church once. I said to people, we have a wonderful praise time today, aren't we? Yes, we are. I said, nobody's allowed to say amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, or glory. Let's praise him. And there was this deathly silence. I says, all you're going to do is go to the book of Psalms and see the praises of God that's there and just pull them out and use them. You're actually, when you're praising God, you're actually quoting Scripture and affirming to God that you believe his word. Now, God's not big-headed. But all the praises that you praise to him, he's given them to us to do it. So you could just pick them up and use it. God, I will just tell you something about God. He is so secure in himself that he knows that he's good. That's not being big-headed. He just knows he's great. He's awesome. He's almighty. See, I'm quoting Scripture. This is all in the Bible. God's told us. So we're tasting and we're seeing that God is good. So there's a sense in which your faith tastes God. What about this one? Smelling God. There's a beautiful Scripture. Actually, we could turn to this one in Ephesians chapter 5. This is a lovely, lovely Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 1 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So Jesus became a fragrant offering. He gives off a perfume. He gives off a perfume. He is a fragrant, and there's other scriptures about it. He is a fragrant offering to God. He offered himself to God. I had an experience once, I've shared this with a number of you, but you perhaps all haven't heard it, but after I first got saved, I was 15 when I got saved, I didn't know much of the Bible, didn't know any of the Bible, didn't know nothing, and I taught myself to read from buying a Bible and reading it. But when I was about just coming into the age of 16, I still didn't know much, but I was really in love with God, really in love with God. And one day I was in my bathroom upstairs at my mum's house, of course, and I was praying in the bathroom. And I got my eyes closed and I said, Lord Jesus, oh, I'd love to see you. Now remember, I'm a brand new Christian. I don't know the Bible at all. But I said, Lord Jesus, oh, I'd love to see you. And all of a sudden, this fragrance filled the room. I have never been able to describe it in words, but I can still sense the aroma. And I thought, is here. My eyes were closed, and I got frightened. Because at least 15 going on to 60, I said, oh, Jesus, please, when I open my eyes, don't be there. I was just frightened, you know. And I know you think what an idiot he is, but you think when you're 15. This was an experience I was having that was absolutely phenomenal. God gave me some wonderful experiences when I was first saved. I didn't know much of the Bible, but he sort of helped me along, you know, because you know how ignorant I was, and I need a lot more help. So I opened my eyes, and he wasn't there, which I really was a big sigh of it, but the fragrance was. And then within a minute, it had gone. I believe Jesus has a fragrance. I honestly do. And that is by faith. Do you understand? That's an act of faith. Faith is to the spirit what the senses are to the body. My faith can taste Jesus, can taste the Lord. My faith can smell his sweet aroma. You believe that? What about this one? My faith can hear God. That's not a hard one, is it? But I guarantee none of you, maybe one or two of you, I never have, but most of us here have never heard the audible voice of God. We've never been in God spoke to John. Just stop. John, I want to talk to you right now. We've not had that. Because if we did, we'd probably run a mile if that happened anyway. But we've not had it, have we? But I say to people, God said to me. And they look at you, what? Yeah, no, God spoke to me. I've heard God speak. You have heard God speak. And how is that? By faith. I mean, every time you read the word, he's speaking. But a lot of people read the word without faith and don't know he's speaking. There's people who read the Bible and can quote the Bible, but not by faith. It means it's no different to Shakespeare. But you and I, because we've got faith, when our faith operates and we believe that, we know that's God speaking to us. How many times have you read the scriptures and it's jumped out at you? Jumped right out at you. Think, that's God. That's God. I never saw that before like that. That's God speaking to me. He actually speaks to us. We can hear him. So I can smell him. I can touch him. I can hear him. What about the touch bit? He touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Doesn't mean I felt his hand on my shoulder. You know, I touched his brother, now he can feel me. Yeah? I've never had God's hand come upon me and press me down like that. But I felt his hand on me. I feel his hand. He touches me. Do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? Do you remember when she said, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. And she ended up, of course, on the floor behind him, crawling towards him, and she touched his foot. And he stopped. And he said, who touch me? And the disciples said, come on, there's thousands of people that are touching. How many people would have touched him that day? Only one. Because he stopped. He says, who was it? Who was it? Who touched me? And she came from the crowd and fell on her knees. And she was totally healed. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. He says, I've been touched. I've been touched by faith. Come on. Your faith can touch God. Your faith can actually touch Jesus and make a whole difference to situations in your life. Who thinks that's great? So you see, it's your faith to the spirit, what the senses are to the body. So you can wonderfully, marvelously, gloriously touch him. You can hear him. Sometimes I've gone through long distances or times when I've not heard God. And I don't like that. It's not God's fault, it's my fault, because I wasn't listening. When I used to work in pest control, I used to have to travel from Belmont into the city, and I used to go over Garrett Road Bridge. I'm talking in the early days, I'm not talking about in the old days. And there used to be a big, great big antenna near the bridge, and I'd have my radio on. And then as I started to drive past this great big antenna, all my radio got interfered with, and I heard other sounds coming in from other stations. Do you understand what I'm saying? That used to happen almost every morning to me, and it wouldn't happen now, of course, we've got more. But back then, and what was happening, I was picking up through that radio sounds that I didn't want to tune into because I'd got a radio station on, but it was picking up sounds from other radio stations. And I thought to myself, isn't it remarkable that sound travels? You know, if you turn a radio on now, you're going to get music or get somebody talking, you're going to tune into a station, or you can switch and tune into another station and another. The remarkable thing is that those sounds are here all the time. Those sound waves are now passing through your bodies, but you're not tuned into them. Yeah. They're there. Yeah. Sound is traveling all around the world all the time. When you speak, and I believe this very strongly, that when we speak, our words, how can I put this without sounding stupid? I believe our words are something like light. When you flash light, you say you've got a torch, you put the light on and switch it off, you say it's gone. That light's still traveling. Light travels. We're looking at the light of the sun that was given out about 8 minutes ago, 9 minutes ago, 8 minutes, and we're seeing it 8 minutes later. Light travels. Do you know sound travels? When you speak, be very careful, because your words are never lost. Amen. Scientists tell us that words can be trapped into buildings, into brickwork, into steelwork. The words, because it's a sound wave. We make sound waves. And so when I've spoken, and I thought, that's it. No, that thing is still there. It's traveling. Jesus said, be careful what you say, because on that day of judgment, you will be acquitted or you will be convicted by what you have said. Now, some of us are going to go to heaven, and maybe even, I don't know, maybe we won't have a complaint, but we might say to God, well, why didn't you do for me that? When I asked you, why didn't you do it? And he's going to say, just a minute, I'll show you why. And he's going to turn the radio on, and your voice is going to come out of it. And you're going to hear yourself talking. And it's going to be embarrassing. It says, here are you pointing a finger at me, but just listen to how you spoke. Just listen to what you said. And you wonder why I didn't do what I wanted to do? Your words are never lost. But I say this, he's not going to do it publicly. He's not going to embarrass us and shame us. I'm glad about that. Are you? Do you know what he could do if he wanted? He could put on the screens there and there. He could put my life on there. He could, right now, all the things I've ever said, he could put them, ever done. I'm glad he's not going to do that to you. But your words are never, ever lost. That's why Jesus made it very good. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. Because I believe it's like an electrical impulse. Now, where do we get our speech from? There's a clue. God. In the beginning was the... Who started language? God. And his words were so powerful that when he believed what he said, miracles took place. Creation came into being at the word of his mouth. He spoke it all into being. We talked about that, was it last week or the week before? He spoke it all into being. His words are so powerful. And God put the words in the mouth of the angels. That's why God was highly disappointed with Lucifer when Lucifer started to lie. Up to that time, there's only truth that had been all the way around through the universe. Then Lucifer started to lie and destroy God's word. And God saw the great damage that can be done through lies. Because God is not a liar. The scripture says God is not a man that he should lie. Why? Because most men lie. No, all men lie. And women, they all lie. It's the truth. We do. And God sees the damage. This world is struck down, damaged because of lies. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are like your father, the devil. He speaks his native language. Jesus called Lucifer's language his native language. He was the father of lies, the father of murder. He's done so much damage in God's creation through lying. So God's saying to us, be careful what you say. Be careful, don't gossip, don't start pulling. If you're going to use words, use them to the glory of God and for the benefit of others. Amen? I'm serious. And so these are powerful things that are happening in our lives. I can hear God. We know he can hear us, but I can hear God. I can hear God as plainly as if he was speaking audibly.
And in fact, there is no difference in my spirit hearing him, because my spirit hears him. By faith, it is the same as if I was to hear him audibly. Now, we all think what a great man Moses was, because he spoke with God face to face. Well, that was something, wasn't it? God came down, actually had a conversation with him face to face. But it's no more important than God speaking to you in your spirit. Come on, it's not. Because God speaks to us. I honestly believe he speaks through his word, and he speaks as we go around our work. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. So words are very, very important and powerful. What about this one? Seeing God. Do you know what Jesus said? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I misunderstood this scripture for many, many years. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I thought, well, the time's going to come when I'll be so cleansed, so clean, and I go into his presence. I'm going to see him because I'm pure in heart. That's how I used to think. And that's how some of you think. Wrong. Wrong. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, that seeing God has got nothing to do with these. Because you can't see God with these. He's too big. He's too big. Remember when God came and he showed himself to Moses, just a fraction of himself, and he covered Moses. Now think of this. If I was to bring our son, if I could do this, close by to you, within, say, 6 feet of you, the son, what would happen to you? You wouldn't be there, would you? You'd have been gone long before he got to 6 foot close to you. And the sun is only one star that's just an average size. Some stars are much more. Some stars are so big that from where the sun is now to where the earth is, that's how big the stars are. That's a big star, a lot of power. Well, now, God made them. So how powerful is he? How big is he? You can't see God with these eyes, because you can't take him in. We see him by the eye of faith. Amen. And I know that's, don't get upset with it, hear me out. I know that's destroyed some of your theology, because you thought the day's going to come when you'll see God. No. The day's going to come when you'll see Jesus. We'll all see Jesus, because he's the Word of God. And in eternity, oh, I won't tell you what I believe, but we will see Jesus. But we won't see God, for God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So you can't see him. These eyes, as wonderful as they are, can only take so much in. They are limited. Would you agree with that? Limited. And the telescopes that we're making today, incredible telescopes that are absolutely limited. I heard Richard Dawkins talking not long back, and he was talking about the black holes. And I think I might have told you this as well, and I thought to myself, and he was describing these black holes in intricate detail, with the so much density within them, and gravitation pulls everything in, and the light can't even escape. I think, oh. So I went back to my computer, and I brought up, show me photographs of black holes. And all these photographs came up. I thought, oh, look at the magnificent photographs. So I did a bit more research, and I found out not one of them was a photograph. They're all computer images. Nobody has ever photographed a black hole. But he's describing it, that this, and light can't come out of it. How do they know that? They've never seen it. They think that they're there because of, and then there's a few little things that they think. So that means there must be a black hole there. But they've never seen it. And yet when you see the pictures, when your children look at the pictures, they think, like I did, they're real photographs. They're not. The greatest telescopes that we have can't photograph a black hole because they're too far away. Don't think that your eyes are going to see God, because they ain't. But guess what? I do see God. And I don't have to wait to get to heaven. Because listen to this. Don't nobody shout me down when I say this. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now the word heart is synonymous in the Bible with the word spirit. It's interchangeable terms. When we talk about heart, we're not just talking about the pump, but we're talking about that inner part of us, that inner spirit. Faith is to the spirit, I believe, what the senses are to the body. Blessed are the pure in heart. Guess what? Everybody look at me now. Everybody look at me. You are looking at somebody that is pure in heart. Take a good look. That's what he looks like. I am pure in heart. Guess what? If you're a Christian, so are you. You've been washed in the blood, and you're pure. And because you're pure, you see God. Come on. You see him. If I was to say to you, right, everybody get some paper and write down what you think of God. Write down who you think he is, what he's like. I guarantee you, when we've gathered them together, we'd have a wonderful description of God coming from you people because you see him. You describe him as love. You describe him as pure. You describe him as holy. You'd say he's a caring heavenly father. He's an awesome God. What you would write would be incredible. But if I was to get 50 people from out there who are not Christians to come in here, and I said, gave them a bit of paper that says, describe God, I'd get next to nothing on it. Serious. I'd get next to nothing because they don't see God. Don't you think that's wonderful? Don't you think that deserves an amen? Come, that's marvelous. You, friends, I'm serious. You're the sons and daughters of the living God. You see him. You see him in your spirit. You have eyes of the Spirit that see him. You can touch him in the Spirit. You can hear him. You've got ears in your spirit. You can actually smell him in the Spirit, the fragrance of Christ. You have this wonderful gifting from God, and it's all by faith because your spirit operates. Listen, I can prove this. Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But then it says, but it is with the heart that man believes. Didn't say with the brain, didn't say with the mind. Faith comes from that inner you, that spirit that God has made. Thank God for this brain, because somehow, some way, the spirit's connected with it, of which I don't understand. Nobody does. We are a complete human being, and I do believe that it's important that God made us this way while we're going to have a resurrected body, because if our body falls away and we've just got our spirit and soul left, we're limited. We're limited in that we cannot appreciate everything, because God's made us a human being, a living soul. And when we have the new creation, something marvelous is going to happen. Because I said he made Adam and Eve last to fit in with the physical creation he's made. But the new man, the new resurrected man, which you will be and I will be, it's the same body changed. How many of you know that when you got born again, your spirit was made whole? But it was your spirit, the one that you had before you as a Christian. God resurrected it and made it whole. And that's what he's going to do with your body. When you and I, if Jesus came right now and whoosh, we're gone, we find ourselves in his presence, and I look at you, I go, whoa, look at you, would you? You'd all be 25 years of age. Absolutely incredible. You'd be looking wonderful. And I look at you and think, well, that's marvelous what God has done. He's given to us a new body, which, by the way, when Jesus rose from the dead, he had a new body like we're going to have, because he was a first fruits of the resurrection. Of the resurrection. And what could he do? He could eat. And I'm so pleased about that. Because I love food. I'm glad that when we get to heaven, we're not going to not have food like the angels. They can't eat because they ain't got a body. They don't need it. But we're going to have a body. So the pavlova's still on the menu. But it's special pavlova because it's got no fatty bits in it. Okay. Our bodies will be able to move through walls. We'll still be physical, but we can move through a wall. We can move at great speeds. I believe, and don't get upset with me for saying this, but I believe that when the end of all things comes and the judgments are finished and everything, I believe our main place will still be on the earth. I believe God will still have us on the earth, but because I've got a new body, one that can move at great speeds and can travel through, you know, through time, through space, I believe that we can access heaven as well as living on earth. I believe that. I believe that all your gifts that you have, your artistic gifts, the gifts that God's given you as an individual person, they will still be with you, only in greater capacity. We will live on the earth, and the earth will be a beautiful place to live, but we can access all other parts of God's creation because we will be like Jesus. Remember, Jesus' new body was phenomenal, and he could eat. I've got to emphasize that. He could eat, but he could move at incredible speeds. Somebody says the new body will be a body with no blood in it, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but flesh and spirit can. So our new body will be controlled by spirit. So God's making something new. If any man is in Christ, he's a new. Everybody say new. A bit louder than that, please. New! If any man is in Christ, he is new. If it's new, it means it's new. It's not been before. A new creation. Our bodies will be so spectacular that we can move at incredible speeds, we'll never grow old. Never. Isn't that wonderful? Come on. There'll be no marriage in heaven, which is isn't that marvellous? No marriage. With no male and female, there won't be. No reproduction in heaven or on earth as we will be living. And there'll be millions and millions, and there's at least a billion Christians right now on planet earth. So you don't think there's going to be a few of them. There's going to be millions, there could be over 2 billion Christians on the earth. Oh, praise God. I can't wait, can you? I'm making this exciting. I bet you think, God, come now, quick, come, ready to go. I want this now. Because your spirit is something incredible that God has recreated, and faith, it is with the heart that man believes. That is a seat of where faith is. That's why when you read something and it goes into the brain, you must let it sink into your spirit. Because if it just stays there, all sorts of things can happen to it. It can come into contact with the world, with the devil, with his lies, cheating. But if it sinks into the spirit, into the heart, that's where it's really going to start to happen. God's word must always sink into our heart. Can you say amen to that? It's with the heart that man believes. You've got to hold that. You've got to grasp that. You've got to believe it. Because as you go through the New Testament, in the Old Testament, there are at least 8 covenant names that God made. Beautiful names. About being our righteousness, being our healer, being our prosperity, being our peace. And in the New Testament, you find all those names now belong to Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. Come on. He's our healer. By his stripes, we were healed. If we were, we are. And he says that he makes us rich. He became poor so that we can become rich. He wants us to be blessed and brings into a place of prosperity in him. And that prosperity doesn't mean dollars and cents. It means prosperous in many, many ways. So God wants to bless us. He's done the work for us. Now, I've not got my new body yet. And at times I have difficulty with this one. Okay, so I've not got the new one. But I'm going to keep on exercising faith, because even though I've not got my new one, I can have a foretaste of the new one. I can get healed. Come on. By faith, I can believe God can heal me. I believe that. Some of you are not too sure of that. Read the scriptures. It's all there. Grow in grace. And you can only grow in grace if you grow in faith. And if you let God's word sink down to where it really, really counts, into your heart, for it's with the heart that man believes, then you are exercising those things. You're hearing God. You're seeing God. You're touching God. You're tasting God. It's all coming from there by faith through his word. How many of you reckon that was a marvelous Bible study you just had? I don't hear people talk like that very often, but it's true. Sometimes we need to encourage ourselves by who we are. Sometimes the world puts us down. The world wants to hold you down. The world wants to make you think that you're an idiot and a fool for believing what you believe. When I was listening to Richard Dawkins, I was amazed. I told you this last week when he said, there's no, the Bible's rubbish. There is no God. We came from evolution. We evolved from the lower form of life. And the interviewer said to him, well, where did it all come from? Where did it all come from? Then he starts talking about the Big Bang. So the interviewer just says, where did it come from? And his answer was, well, that's a mystery, isn't it? That's what he said. This atheist, he says, that's a mystery. And so they don't know where it all came from. And I heard one scientist who's on television quite regularly, a youngish guy, very clever guy, say, it's obvious it couldn't have come from nothing. It's obvious. So he talked about the compressed space. I've told you about that before, you know, space compressors, which you can't have compressed space because there's nothing there to compress. But anyway, but then he says, but maybe, listen to this. This is what he's saying. Maybe, just maybe, creation has always been here in one form or another. It comes and goes. And maybe throughout the whole of ever, there's been creation. Now, when I say to these atheists, when they say to me, and I say, I believe God created everything, and they say, well, who created God? When I say, nobody, because he's been there forever, I get laughed at. But the scientists could say, the universe without God has been there forever. Who's taking ginormous leaps of faith? Not me. These idiotic atheists. Does it make sense to you? Where did it comes from? God. He created. And of course, it was destroyed thanks to stupid Lucifer and then stupid Adam and Eve. It was messed it all up. But he hasn't given up. He wants us to be in heaven with him. He wants us to be where he is because he loves us. And he's given us a spirit which is marvellous, and in that spirit can dwell faith in him and in his word. So don't try to work out your salvation unless you know it's God that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Don't you think you've got to work for yourself? You don't. And I finish with this wonderful thought. All of the religions in the world, and even Christianity, when it becomes a religion, does this. Particularly Catholicism does it. They all say, all of them, if you are good, you can come to God. Be good, and you'll get to heaven. Be good, and you'll come to God. If you are good, you can come to God. That's what all the religions of the world teach. That's why religion is so hard, because everybody is trying to be good. No, they can't. So they're in a constant battle. Christianity does not say that. Christianity says, come to God, and he'll make you good. Can I have a few more amens than that? Don't you think that's better than being a Muslim? Or what, don't you think it's better than being a Hindu with the three, all the gods that they believe in? We come to God and he makes us good. Because I can't make myself good. I worked that out a long time ago. If I had to be good to come to God, it ain't going to happen. And not only me, it's not happening with you lot as well. It won't happen because you're not good. But come to God and he makes us good because he washes us in the blood of Christ and he stamps his righteousness upon us. Hallelujah. And I am pure in heart and I see God. I see him day by day. His beauty, his glory, his holiness, his purity. I see God as a splendid creator of all things. He's a good, good God. I see him. Not with these, but I see him with this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So faith is believing what the Bible says. It's God's word. Faith is believing with your heart, not just in your head. Too many people just get head knowledge. Don't let it drop down into their heart. With your heart. For with the heart, man believes. And we believe him because he's given us the word of Christ. That's what we believe. I don't believe in you. I don't believe in you. Guess what? When I look in the mirror, I don't believe in me. But I believe in the word of Christ. I'm not being rude when I say that. Just that I know how I fail. I don't know. A lot of you here I don't know personally. But I know your miserable failures. Because that's just the way that we all are. We just like that. We just are. You know, we don't want to be. We want to put on. But the reality is we are. So that's why we need a savior. I need somebody to save me. I can't save myself. I need somebody to save me. And he's done that. And he's given me this wonderful ability to keep believing in his word and keep growing in grace because I believe in his word and becoming more and more like him every day. Amen. Now next week, what say when we come here, I do a little bit of teaching, but not a lot, just a little bit, and we believe for a miracle service. Let's ask people in the church that you know are not well to come. If there's miracles needed in your church, maybe there's marriages that are on the rocks, maybe there's kids that are, let's believe for miracles next week. If we don't start reaching out and believing, saying, God, your word says it, and if I believe it, that settles it. Yeah. We've got to get to that place. So this week, start saying, God, next week, we're going to have a miracle service and see some wonderful things done for the glory of God. Amen. Father, I thank you tonight for these lovely people. They're your people, Lord. You love them. You've saved them. You've changed them from the inside out. And Lord, you've done everything for us. There's not anything left for us to do. And we thank you for that. All we have to do is just believe your word. Because, Lord, you want us to have a Sabbath rest. You want us to rest, not in our works. We can't do that. But you want us to rest in your works, in the works of Jesus that he performed for us on that cross. And when he said, it is finished, the debt is paid in full, the work was complete. And because of that, he rose again from the dead, and death could not hold its prey. Jesus, you tore the bars away. You rose magnificent, triumphant for us. And Jesus, we're going to just keep following you because we don't want to follow ourselves. That leads us nowhere. We want to keep following you, Jesus, because we know you've told us to come with you and to cross over to the other side. We pray for next week, Lord, as we meet together, should you tarry as we meet, we just pray wonderful miracles and healings will flow. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. And everybody said, amen. But they didn't say it loud enough, so they said, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor David.